the team that never lets you down. We're the only team all Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Very good morning as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM, Breakfast with the Blues. This show every week is brought to you by your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford and Paris Fabriziani, and special guest comments by John Allen. As always on the program, we look at all AFL and Blues news and review the remaining AFL, including our tips. Special guest live interviews today, and I say interviews because we have two, is past player Dennis Armfield and the president of the Carlton Football Club, Mark Lejudice. Kate Jezelenko can't join us today as we have a guest. John Allen will actually deliver her Kate's plate as she's sunning herself in the lovely Clunes. We cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. We provide information on WA Blues supporter events, the weekly whack, and anything else in footy that we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, we must thank our loyal sponsors.
Whenever you're ready, Craig.
Yeah, mate, I'm getting there. Sorry.
I'll thank them then.
I've got it, sorry. Okay, we'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Pitcher Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, the Empire Bar at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlain, and a special thank you to Barbaro Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thank you for that, mate. Now we're going to throw over to our chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, to deliver Kate's plate. Go on, Johnny,
now,
how are you?
In the absence of Kate, I'll just wish everyone Dobro Raho. I think I said that wrong. I'll try it again. Dobro Raho, which is Ukrainian for good morning.
Good morning.
So, on Kate's plate today, well, we're serving up a dish of cold shoulder and hot tongue to former Hawk and Kardashian wannabe Ben Dixon. So, Dicko reckons that Pies coach Nathan Buckley is the best coach going around at the moment, even better than Clarko. Well, hold your horses, Benny boy, and take a good hard look at some facts before you start gobbing off, mate. Our Teague is head and shoulders above any of them at the moment, and here's the proof. Away at that dung heap of a ground, the Cattery, the Blues produced their highest scoring first half since 2016. The Pussycats had won 35 of the previous 39 games at the Fortress. The Blues last tasted victory in Geelong in 1996. And it's the first time, in fact, in about 40 years that any team at the Dung Ape has led every change at the Pussycat litter box of a stadium. Teague is clearly the man, no question, Bucko. So Benny. You didn't do your research, mate. You didn't eat your peas. You didn't finish your meat. So on Kate's plate, no pudding for you, buddy.
I find it disgusting, disgraceful.
Well, we did get her in a little bit there at the end. So, look, I thought that was a really extraordinary call from Benny. He's getting a bit Kardashian-like, the old Benny boy,
yeah,
isn't he?
He is, definitely.
Hey, trying to be controversial, whatever.
Doesn't
so,
suit him.
I think, you know, God love him. He tries hard, yeah, but, you know. Wannabe.
Yep. Well done. Well said. Thanks for stepping in, John.
I was going to do it in a Kate voice, but...
I prefer Kate. I think Kate's better looking than you, though.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. But I didn't want to offend her, and then the more I thought about it, realising that I would offend her if I did it in a Kate voice, I really, really wanted to do it. But no, I've done the right thing. I've done it in my own voice. So back over to you guys.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks for that. Craig, let's run through some AFL news if we can, mate.
Okay, just quickly go through this. Some sad news during the week with three-time Premiership Hawthorn coach John Kennedy passing away. There was another COVID breach this week with Essendon's Connor McKenna causing mayhem during the week. Just unfortunately, he didn't take out a few more teammates with him for this week. But anyway, the AFL has moved to ban contact training at full group sessions for the next four to five weeks, roughly. So that'll be interesting due to Connor McKenna and the current crisis over there. The AFL has revealed the fixtures for round 6 and 7. They'll be playing at Sydney and the MCG. Many Victorian teams will rotate through Western Australian quarantine hub to get through the season a bit quicker. Some charges laid from round three. There was 15 in total. Don't affect Carlton, so we won't go through them all. So
just a lot of money for the AFL.
Yeah, and the AFL have informed AFL club presidents and CEOs that the AFL commission's ratified CBA for 2021 season should commence on in February. So
excellent, Craig. That's quickly. That's good. Is there? Why don't we go over to you, Paris, for the Blues injury updates and the ins and outs?
Yep. So we've only got one change from our winning side last week. Harry Mackay goes out with bruised ribs, and Sam Philp comes in for his debut. The emergencies for this week are Matthew Kennedy, Josh Honey, Tom DeConing, and Lockie O'Brien. Without injuries, we've got Charlie Curnow knee season, Nick Newman knee season, Brody Kemp, knee season. Matthew Cruiser, his foot, another 9 weeks. Marchbank with the knee, another 3 weeks. Paddy Dow, knee, 1 to 2. Harry Mackay, the bruised ribs, only 1 week. And Zach Fisher with the ankle is now available, and he'll be getting a run in the twos today. With today's game, we've got a milestone. Cade Simpson passes Big Nick John Nichols' game tally of 328 games on Saturday night when he runs out on the MCG against the Bombers. And with Blues news, the Blues will run out tonight against Essendon with lucky members' names on the back of their famous jumper as part of the club's thank you to its members. This is game one of three that they'll be doing this.
Yeah, did any of us lucky
ones get out? I must have missed out, did I?
I must have missed out too. Yeah. I didn't get
I must ask Mark, where's my phone call? I thought I was a Monty this week.
Yeah. Look, Paris, that injury list keeps growing.
Yeah. And it's a lot of knees.
Yeah. I know we've got Andrew Russell, the expert. We look fit, it's great, but these injuries and knees, it's just costing us.
But the injuries are across the board, though. A lot more. I think it's maybe because of the short break and they're trying to get back into it too quickly and not getting conditioned properly. I don't know.
I'm still a bit concerned about Marchie. I mean, he's had all this time off and he's still two to 3 weeks away.
I think the only silver lining with all the injuries is all these young boys now get to play and get to have a
get
run
some
around.
Time, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how young Philpy goes today.
Yeah, it'd be good. And then the one we mentioned before the show, Josh Honey. Josh Honey's looking good.
He looks very athletic, quick.
Yeah, all right, Craig. Well, let's go on to that great win we had last Saturday night. And can you please review the great victory against the Cats?
It was fantastic. It was a fast start for the Blues with our little Eddie Betts kicking the opening goal within the first minute, coming off a good centre clearance from Cripper. Ed Curnow was given the tough task of matching up against Joel Selwood and was able to largely negate the impact of the captain, keeping him to just 5 disposals in the first term. The game was largely played in the Blues forward line due to the great work around stoppages by Mark Pitonet and our co-captain Cripper. Carlton's pressure was some of the best that I've seen this season. Their pressure was something that's been lacking for quite a while. Geelong's defence, to make uncharacteristic mistakes, Beck's second goal of the term gave the Blues a 25-point lead heading into the first break. The Cats made up for a slow start with two quick goals to open the second term. Carlton held its nerve, however, and was able to once again bring the fight to Geelong to kick back-to-back goals through Mitch McGovern and Harry Mackay. Jack Martin's move to the midfield was important as he was able to provide an important link in play as the Blues move forward. It was a tighter contest in the second term, with Geelong dropping an extra defender into the back line. However, the Blues were relentless in their pressure with Levi's second goal and Cripp's first goal. Sam Doherty and Liam Jones were fantastic in defence. But the Blues movement in the third term with Eddie, Jack Martin flicking the switch and oozing class was just brilliant. Cripper proved just how good he is in the clearances and just a tough captain playing his great game as usual. One that stood out for me was Michael Gibbons. Found himself playing through the centre, which I think suits him better. And he just oozes a lot of class.
Yeah, it was good.
Just the moment of the match, I felt, was Eddie. No surprise, and when the game needed to be won, that last quarter, the kick off the ground, the follow-up, the tackle, and then getting the mark in the forward pocket just to run the clock out. In the end, it was Carlton 11-11, sorry, Carlton, 12-7-79 to the Cats, 11-11-77. It was a great win down there.
That it was, John. That it was, Craig. That it was. Okay.
I haven't grown a beard, have I?
Yeah, I have. I think you have. Okay. Now it's time now to cross live to favourite of the Blues supporter, Dennis Armfield. Dennis, a very good morning to you and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, mate. Now, Dennis, before I hand you over to the panel for some questions, what's life like been for you as a retired AFL player?
Depends when you ask, mate. During COVID or pre or post COVID, mate.
During COVID,
it's a lot of time inside, mate. That's for sure. In isolation, especially over here in Victoria, we're not allowed to do very much. But life after football, mate, it's been an enjoyable one. I've progressed into men's health and well-being, and now growing that into women as well, which has been really enjoyable. Working for a company called Elephant & Co., where we try to encourage people to be proactive and be their best self in life, in work, personal, and all aspects of life that may affect you. So, been fortunate enough to do that, and playing and coaching my own local football team over here in the AFNL called Park Orchards Footy Club, which is keeping the old legs ticking over, but also enjoying the coaching side of things. And then just spending a lot of time with my wife, who's now 14 weeks pregnant, mate, which is pretty exciting. So,
congratulations,
pretty busy over here at the moment.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
mate. Did you know that an AFL champion actually come from Park Orchards, Paul Roos?
Yeah, a few people are. Brett Radden's out that way as well. So, Paul Roos is actually, his nephew plays in our side. So, I'm fortunate enough to be able to pick his brain a fair bit, and he's come to a couple of our games where I've received a lot of advice. So, very lucky in that regard.
Good to hear, mate. Sounds like you've been busy, but I'll throw you over now to the panel. I'll throw you over to Craig.
Dennis, how are you going? Craig Bradford here.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
Yeah, look, mate, just with you being recently retired, was there one player at Carlton that really stood out for you, in particular with the way they trained, played and sort of prepared for the game?
It's on a current list. I'd say there's a fair few, actually. Obviously, Cripper was a phenomenal trainer, just phenomenal about how he goes about it. I remember he would always do extras on the net, grab people along, do extra touch work, practice little strategies, talk to the ruckman just to get to know their strengths and that and their weaknesses. And I think it shows in his football now. Who else was there? The changeover in the 3 years since I've retired has been a fair bit. Obviously the leaders like Sam Doherty and that. Liam Jones was someone that, he turned his career around going to the defence and put a lot of people didn't see a lot of the hard work that he put in to make that transition. It's not just simply go back there and automatically dominate. He used to watch footage on opponents and stuff like that. And his training, he just knew one way, and I think that shows on the footy field now. So they're probably two that really string to mind that are having really good years. And I guess Levi as well, a good mate of mine, but someone that I know puts a lot of work in behind the hours. And, you see him in the middle of it's pouring down rain. All of us boys were rugged up, and he's out there having shots at goal and all of that. And it didn't happen overnight for him. And I know he copped a lot of scrutiny over his kicking and all of that, but I think the way he's been playing the footy this year, he's starting to reap some rewards for the hard work that he's put in.
Hey, Dennis, Paris here. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Paris.
So I'm stoked to finally have a player from my era on the panel. And obviously we're versing Essendon tonight, a game that all Carlton fans love to watch. Who was your favourite club to verse and why?
Oh, look, when I got to the footy club, I bought instantly into the rivalries. They're not as prevalent these days, I don't think, with the...
Yes, they are. Over here they are. Cross, mate.
Changing a little bit.
To say
but,
yeah.
I was definitely against Collingwood, Essendon, and probably one of my other ones, a little bit of left field, was St Kilda. They were the three that I really didn't like playing and really wanted to win. Because I think, just that rivalry, you come in and you hear about the history of the football club, and I was someone that, bought in pretty hardly to the history, and as this might sound good or bad, but I was once a bagger, I'm only a bagger, and all other opposition were my opponents, mate, and I didn't really like any of them, if I'm honest, so Yeah, that was me in a nutshell,
Parra. Chris and I are originally from Victoria, mate, and I can tell you, we hate Essendon, Richmond, Collingwood.
Keep going.
Must win.
Yeah, well, they're the big three.
But they're the major three.
Yeah, well, my list probably stretches a little bit longer and probably adds the other 14 that you're missing there. But, yeah, look, it's, I was a little bit old school like that. I was, everyone's an opponent. And, yeah, I wasn't out there to make friends. I was out there to get a win, hopefully. And, but, yeah, that sort of changing of the guard, which is understandable now.
Yeah, mate, I know you're affiliated with the AFLW, the women's side of thing. How do you see that going? And especially with this COVID, it's affected a few of that. Because I think you were involved with the academy, the women's academy.
Yeah, so I was involved with Carlton in their first year when they started up their AFLW. And then last year, two seasons ago in the AFLW, I was fortunate enough to be a senior assistant at North Melbourne AFLW, which was a really good experience for myself. And I think the game's growing phenomenally. You know, you look at the you hear all this publicity about low scoring, but you look at some of the AFL games now with shorter quarters and stuff, and the scores that are happening there. So it sort of puts things a little bit more in perspective to the whole footy scheme, and especially when men can kick it 50, 60 and women can only kick it 40, 50, it's always going to slow it down a little bit. But I think the skill level and the more investment into time and coaching, and the girls are phenomenal with the amount of time and effort they put in. You can start to see the rewards, and you can see some of the newcomers, the younger girls that have been fortunate enough to come through a system now that the AFL has in place to... They're coming in and hitting the grounds running, and you look at your Georgia G's and that at Carlton, and all these younger girls that have, their football brains and their football, they're not just women that have taken up football. And I think you can just see this quality and the trailblazers that have set the standard at the start to where they are now has been phenomenal, and it really excites me. And it's good to hear that. I think it's going to continue, which is good, because I know with COVID and all that, landscapes are going to change. But yeah, I think we'll see another improvement again with girls and going again. Junior football over here is fortunate enough to be continuing on, which is another stepping stone for many, many young women to apply their trade and chase their dreams.
Yeah, one of my favourite players at Carlton is Katie Loynes. I think she's as tough as nails. She reminds me of Fraser Brown.
She's
a lot better looking than Fraser. But, mate, we're playing Essendon today. Who would have been what would have been your best memory playing against the Bombers?
Obviously the final, where we got in and had a great win against, Essendon in front of a packed MCG, and it was probably a game that many probably thought we weren't going to win at that time, and I think to... always win a final against an arch rival, the Richmonds and the Essendon wins are two that bring mind. But, that was one. Obviously, personally, I had a few good battles with Alwyn Davey and that, who was a little jet that taught me a lot of skills and a lot of things to fast-track my development in my days. But there's been a lot of memories of against Essendon that, have all probably blurred into one, if I'm honest, and probably can't... nail it down to the games. But I think all Essendon games, the draw at the end of the year, that was something that was a little bit empty feeling, and I remember playing that out and sort of just going, yeah, you want to finish the season with a bang, but you sort of finished on a draw, and that's a long sort of wait there. So many memories against Essendon, many pre-game speeches from coaches that you remember to drive in the history and all of that. And looking forward to watching tonight, and Big Simo, taking over Big Nick is a massive milestone too. So I hope the boys can, find that little bit of effort again, just to reward what is probably one of the greatest players of that footy club.
That's true, mate. Well, mate, Dennis, we have to wrap it up there. And once again, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast with the Blues. Thanks for your great memories and sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as always on Breakfast with the Blues, we have to finish off with Go Blues.
Go Blues.
That's it. Go
to
Vegas.
Thanks, Dennis.
See you, mate. Well, it's time now to go for a well-earned break. it's time now to go for a well-earned break. And when we cross back live, it's our very special guest, the president of the Carlton Football Club, Mark Lejudice. Go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues, and me with Al Plates trying to control this bench.
You're doing good. You're doing well, mate.
Okay, now it's time to cross live to the president of the Carlton Football Club, Mark Lejudice. Mark, a very good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning and thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back, mate. Now, Mark, before I hand you over to the panel for some questions, firstly, how satisfying is it to you and the club on how the members, 67,000 of them all, have stuck fat through this strange season?
It's been amazing. It's been a tough period of time, really. It's been an unprecedented period of time and we couldn't be more proud of all of our members, the way they have stuck with the club. I mean, they really have really been the backbone of the club for a long, long time, but particularly now, when you go through challenging times, to have your members continue to back the club and stick with the club has been nothing short of amazing. But they really have got us through this period of time.
Yeah, it's been good. Even people I speak to are still members. They still way behind, yeah, support the club through thick and thin.
Yeah. I mean, that's just hard to replace, you know, when you have all your members, or majority. We've had a few that, for their own personal reasons, not been able to continue. But to have 67,000 members stick with the club has been fantastic.
That's great. Oh, look, mate, I'll throw you over to Craig for some questions.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Craig Bradford here.
G'day, Craig. How are you?
Good, mate, especially after last week. It's fantastic. But
it's a perfect time to be invited on, so I appreciate coming on after a win.
Yeah, that's good. Look, tracking down to Geelong, it's always a horrible ground to play at, but we went in as huge underdogs. Like, our first three quarters were fantastic, and trust me, Chris and I were woofing pots down in that last quarter, stressing out. But how good was it to actually get down there and win by actually get a win over them down there?
Well, I wasn't down there, but from all reports, the room was buzzing. The rooms were buzzing. And look, it was. We haven't won a game down there for a long, long time. So to beat Geelong and the boys gave us a little bit of a heart stopper in the last quarter, but we got over the line, which is the most important thing. And it just goes to show you that you know, we've got the right people, the right talent around the football team, and they can play good footy when they want to play good footy. And I think last week was a great example of playing great footy. And the last quarter, I'm sure that there'll be areas that they could have improved when they look back on the video. But obviously, we came home with the 4 points, so that's the most important thing.
Yeah, just speaking of that Geelong ground, I've been to both, and one for me, look, with the Icon Park being with the redevelopment, you know, is it still going to go ahead this year, or is it early next year? And the club must be happy that the redevelopment's still going to go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. So look, during these trying times, obviously, one of the key areas that we tried to ring fence and isolate was the master plan redevelopment. So as you know, we received $20 million from the state government and $15 million from the federal government, and we've had some very generous, one in particular, generous donor who has donated $5 million to the club. So we will undertake our $40 million odd dollar development. We have scaled it back a bit, but we'll undertake the development, if not later this year, early next year, we will commence construction. At the moment, the development is in the planning process. It's with the minister and the councils, but we will proceed with the development, which will be a fully integrated facility, the first fully integrated facility for our men and our women's teams in the competition, if not in the country. So we're very excited about the development. It'll bring all of our athletes together, and there'll be lots of benefits, obviously, to our athletes, but to our staff, for all of our teams to be able to work together. So we're looking forward to that starting, if not at the end of this year, it will certainly be early in the new year. But the development will definitely be continuing.
Hi, Mark. Paris here. How are you going?
Very well. How are you going?
Good, thank you. So I'm just backtracking a bit, talking about that room for improvement that the boys have before. Putting on your Carlton supporter hat, not your president hat, how far off do you think we are from playing finals?
Look, I think you've got to aim to play finals every year. You know, there's no question that we've been through a rebuild over the last few years, and we've had some challenging times. But I tell you what, if you look forward, it's very, very exciting. And you know, it's very difficult to put a time frame on it, but I think we should be expecting to play finals every year.
Yeah, g'day, Mark. It's Johnny here, mate. How are you going?
Very well, John. How are you going?
Not too bad, mate. I'm getting used to this new role where I've been told I have to let go of the reins of things. I can't do everything. And I think it's been wonderful leadership from my wife to point that out to me. So I've got Chris on the training wheels on the panel, and Paris and Craig doing a great job in here taking over the radio show. So it's all good fun. But, mate, I just wanted to jump in with a special comment. Mate, we really miss you guys coming over here in the West. There's been a bit of talk about more Victorian teams coming over to the WA hub. Is this something that Carlton are looking to throw their hat into the ring for? Just be interesting for our WA supporters to know if there's a glimmer of hope to see the guys out here again.
Yeah, look, I think the answer really is we don't know. Obviously, the fixture was set for the first 4 weeks. It's been announced for round 6 and 7, where we will play Sydney Swans and we will play the Gold Coast. So I guess it's evolving all the time. It's a very uncertain period of time and challenging time for the AFL and in the entire competition, because you just don't know when there may be an outbreak or what the situation may be. We need to take advice from all the medical professionals around the country, not only Commonwealth, but around the different states. And so I think the AFL has done an amazing job putting together a fixture that is very, I guess, to use their words, agile, and they need to be very, very flexible with putting the fixture out, because there's so many different variables and changes that can happen. So I hope that we get over to WA. I hope we get there where we don't have to isolate for the first 14 days. Let's hope that we get to play West Coast and or Fremantle over there later in the season when this pandemic's behind us. But we always love coming over to WA. There's no doubt about that. One of my favourite places to go, Perth, and spend a few days there. But and watch the Blues. So we hope that we can. Obviously, I can't tell you that we're going to, but that'll be in the hands of the AFL. But hopefully, we get over there this year.
You're just talking about the effects of COVID-19, Mark. Like, we received the emails about hopefully that we're going to knock off a lot of the debt by the end of 2021. I think it was. How has the actual COVID affected the debt and the chance of getting it paid off as planned?
We were on track to sort of make around $5 million this year, and we were going to pay off the balance of the debt. We think we'll be 1 or 2 years behind schedule, but we're still on track to pay off the debt by 2022-2023. It's been difficult time, and it's been uncertain. I mean, no one could have ever predicted that we were not going to play games, and then if you do play games, we were going to play a game with no crowds. There's no question that the club's finances have been affected, but we still are very confident that we'll pay the debt off sooner rather than later, and we've been able to do that simply because our members have stuck with the club, which is extremely important. Some of our sponsors have stuck with the club. Our non-traditional revenue streams of Carlton in Business and Carlton College of Sport and our hospitality venues, I mean, they've been affected as well. Will all come to fruition and help push the club forward as we go forward in the next year or two. So, you know, the club's, you've got to remember, we had restructured the club 5 years ago, and so the club's in pretty good shape. Not many clubs are in the right shape to cope with something like this pandemic that we've had, but there's had to be a lot of changes have been made at the club, but we're very confident that we will still be able to pay the debt off in the next few years.
That's good, mate. Mate, Mark, as a football supporter, Carlton supporter, and of course we've got one of our traditional rivals tonight in Essendon, apart from the win, what are you looking forward to the most about the Bombers game?
Well, first and foremost, the win.
Yes.
There's nothing better than beating the Bombers.
True, love it.
But look, Sam Phillips makes his debut tonight, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll be excited to see him play. I actually just spoke to him I normally go down to the rooms before a game and congratulate each of the debutants, but I just got off the phone with him, and as expected, he's got a few butterflies before the game, but he's very, very excited to be playing his first game for Carlton tonight, so I'll be watching Sam Phillips. But look, it's exciting the way David Teague's got the team playing. They're playing you know, quick attacking footy, it's exciting to watch all of our players, you know, succeed in their own way. And it's good to see Mark Pitternet, our new ruckman, have a great start to his debut for the club. So there's lots of exciting things to watch.
Yeah, mate, looking forward to it.
Yep.
Mark, over here in the West, just wanted to let you know, mate, all of us supporters, members in Western Australia, we've really just feel sorry for all of our members and supporters over there in Victoria, what they're going through. We're in such a fortunate position over here, and we're expecting over 100 people at the Empire. Now, you remember how great it is at the Empire, watching it on the big screen out there, and we're going to be, you know, standing around, having a drink, eating that amazing food, watching the game live, and we'll be thinking about you guys all the way. And we don't say that in a boast or a gloat. We say that in a way that we hope that inspires everyone over there to do the right thing, wash their hands, stay home, and just hopefully everything in the community gets right over there, and you guys can do the same thing very, very soon. But in the meantime, we're sending all our love over there to our Carlton members, and we're going to scream arm in arm as loud as we can over here and just hope that those vibes are felt over there.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I appreciate the comments. Look, I think we've all got to do this together. We've all got to stick together and fight this terrible COVID-19 situation that we're in. It's certainly been a challenge on football. It's been a challenge for members not being able to get to games, but we need to remember also that there are a lot of people doing it tough aside from footy. I wish I was over there with you as well, John, at the Empire. It's always great to come there before the games, and I think we were meant to play over there last week, weren't we? So it would have been great to catch up, but no, thank you very much.
I'll drink your pots for you, mate. Don't worry.
Sorted. And if it's a close game, you'll probably hear a shelling.
I'm sure you won't have any trouble doing that.
You've got 67,000 members. I might be in trouble.
I'll help you out, mate.
Well, one for each of them.
Exactly.
Well, mate, look, we're going to have to wrap it up there, Mark. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, mate, thanks again for sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as we always say on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your continued support, and I look forward to catching up when we're over there.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Take care, Mark.
See ya.
Thank you, mate.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
There
you go, panel. Mark LeJudice, very informative as always.
Yes,
And a ripper bloke.
Yep.
Misconceived in the media often. Yep. He's not a big fan of the media, and that comes across in the media, unfortunately, but... you know, never judge a book by their cover. Get to know someone, and he is a ripper of a guy.
Yeah, he is. I spent some time with him down in Melbourne in one of the coterie groups. So, yep, good guy. Always gives up his time for anybody.
Absolutely.
And he's not one of those big noters like the Eddies and the Jeffs.
I was about to say, I'd prefer him to be the way that he is rather than be like an Eddie Maguire where he thinks he can run 40.
Well, Eddie can't survive 5 minutes without being in front of a camera. Yeah. Mark LeJudice, if he had to go 5 minutes in front of a camera, he would shy away from it. So, yeah, great bloke.
Now, we do have, as John mentioned, we do have that big function tonight at the Empire Bar.
Yes.
So we're going to have over 100-plus Carlton supporters, and it's only open for us, so it's no other anyone can come in. But, Paris, give us a spiel on it.
So tonight at the Empire Bar from 4:40 p.m.
Yep. Gates open, yep.
Yep, gates open. We've got great food, a really good menu. Everyone loves those chicken wings.
Steak sandwich.
Restrictions were lifted from 12 a.m. this morning, so we're allowed to stand with our drinks.
Yep. Yes.
And we're allowed to move around. We don't have to be seated, so we can jump around and sing around when the song is played at the end.
And we've got the amazing raffles as well. So if you do rock up there with your 2020 membership, you get a free ticket in a... And I've got a case of the Craig Bradfords there. Ask me a question. So you'll get a free ticket in the members raffle, and you'll get a... you can choose what prize, if your name's lucky enough to be drawn out of the hat, you get to choose what you want. It could be a number 9 match-worn signed jumper by Kane Lucas, or the number 24, or a polo, or something like that. We've also got the special event raffle, $5 ticket, 3 for $10, for the Mitch McGovern signed number 11 jumper. Specially framed, as always, by our mates out at Master Picture Framers. We're also selling the June raffle, the Eddie Betts jumper one, that is. And the Caesar, there's just too much stuff. We haven't got enough time. We've got to go to an ad, but get down to the Empire. Send us a private message on Facebook, Savo, if you can, just to let us know. Helps out with the catering and stuff like that. But we're looking at between 100 and 120 at least down there at the moment. And it's the last event that we'll be doing where we have the whole place to ourselves. It is a private event. It's not open to the public. It's all blue baggers all night. Get down there and let's make lots of noise. Yep.
Go baggers.
Well, it's time to go for a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the one and only David Rhys-Jones. Go Blues.
The Highfields.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues. You're hosted by your WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast of the Blues, 1987's Norm Smith medalist, Premiership hero, David Rhys-Jones. But before we bring him in, just listen.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Rhys-Jones just came in.
Oh, they're having a go now.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Morning, David. How are you?
Yeah, very good, guys. Yeah. That's always good when coming off a Carlton win.
Oh, great.
They've been few and far between over the last while, so great win last week.
Mate, I was just about to say, a much better start to last week down in Geelong, and the boys were obviously switched on for a change.
Yeah, yeah, they come out of the blocks, and look, they hung on in the end. It wasn't pretty to watch sort of thing towards the end, but and Geelong had their chances, and so did we to put the game away, but any win down there at Cadinia Park is a great win. It doesn't matter, you know, when you go down and beat Geelong on their home track down there, it's always a good win. So good things, good signs ahead.
I can tell you, mate, we were at the Empire Bar here and it just went off.
I was crook for 2 days.
Yeah, I think we got a bit of help from that Radicalia. He punched the ball back in on one.
Smart play.
Gary Ablett missing from about 10 metres out in front. So, I don't know whether they had some of their footy trip money on us or whatever. But
That's all right. They made up for Harry McKay's boot.
made up for Harry McKay's boots, so it's all good. Bit of justice.
A great win.
Sorry, David. Craig Bradford here. How are you?
Yeah, good, Craig.
One thing that really ticked me off last week was that the soft free kick and the dive from Joel Selwood. Like, that pushed my buttons. It would have pushed yours too, I'd imagine.
He's been doing it for 15 years. I don't know what you're worried about. You should be used to it by now.
It's just soft.
No, that's just part and parcel of the way he plays. And look, if the umpires are silly enough to fall for it, then he gets a free kick. But, you know, a lot haven't been paid over the last few years. I think umpires have woken up to him a bit. But, look, he's going to keep doing that. It's just part of the nature of the way he plays footy.
Yeah. Do you think the umpires, though, should be a little bit more in tune to that? And I'm not just saying with specific players, but, you know, if someone brushes up against someone, they all kidney punch each other, run around the ground, and they're not affected by it. If someone just does a little elbow like that as they're running past and then they fall over like they've been, you know, knocked over by a feather, you know, the umpires should be a bit more in tune to that, shouldn't they? Surely. Surely the umpires, well, David, do the right thing.
If you're asking me for advice about umpires, I've got no idea what they're thinking. They come from a different planet to me, so I've got no idea what they think.
The planet smack in the mouth.
Was there any point in last week's last quarter that you thought, yep, we can do this, or the whole time did you think, nah, Geelong are going to run over us?
Yeah, you know, I thought we just got too defensive. You know, I always think, you know, you've got to keep scoring. You've got to keep that scoreboard ticking over. And I, you know, when we sort of went into our shell and started defending and playing, you know, defensive footy and going out wide, that's when I started to worry. I thought, oh, geez, you know, they've got a negative mindset at the moment. And you know, instead of getting down and getting a couple of goals on the board to just, you know, wrap the match up, the defensive mindset. But I think when when you haven't been successful and you've lost, you know, a lot of games over quite a number of years now, it gets hard to really, you know, stay positive. And they hung in there, and you know, it was whatever what happened, it was, you know, win down there, it's always going to be a good one. But I just think they just went back in their shells and got that negative mindset and played defensive footy, and that allowed Geelong to get back in and start attacking.
David, that first quarter, our skills, I couldn't believe our kicking and our delivery. It was just, I hadn't seen it in that current team for a while, if ever.
No. And we had been a bit sloppy, in our matches so far this year. So it was good to see, and it just shows that, you know, there is something there. You know, there's definitely something there in that group of players that, can be successful in the future. And I think, once they get a bit of confidence in each other and themselves, then they can, they can do anything. And this year, as we've seen, you know, it's going to be one of those years where the team in form at the right time is going to be the one who will win it.
Yeah, David, look, we copped a lot of flack over the preseason for recruiting Eddie Betts, but watching his forward pressure, his little bits of flair here and there, and especially when in the last quarter, when that, you know, the game had to be won, his persistence to chase, follow, tackle, and then run forward was just hit all those haters right on the head, I thought.
Yeah, look, and you know, I think if we had got Papley. And geez, it wouldn't have been good to get him. He was a star the other night as well. But
we have got him.
He's holding that Swans team together. But if we had got him, I would have thought, you know, what's the use of getting Eddie, sort of thing. You know, we don't, you know, would have crowded up that forward line too much with small forwards. But when we didn't, you know, when we weren't able to get him, it's a great decision. And Eddie is one of those players who has to be watched all the time. I mean, he's. I think Jed Buse played on him for most of the game, and he's their hard back tagger type player, so very defensive type of player. So they're obviously well aware of that, and allowed a few of our other forwards to smaller forwards, Gibbons and so forth, to get around and create a bit of damage. So anytime Eddie's out there, and his efforts at the end, you know, that tackle right at the end there, that match winning tackle basically. you know, summed up his game. He had a terrific game, and it's good to see him in form. And hopefully he comes out with a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
So Essendon looked pretty good in their first couple of weeks. What do you think the Blues need to do tonight?
Win.
Yeah.
Win.
It's just going to be funny how they come out, because it's been, you know, that they haven't had a... They've missed a match. Obviously, they haven't been able to... they haven't been able to train together or do any contact work, I think, for a little while there too as well. So that would have upset their the way they go about it. And you know, they've been playing. They're an up and down team, and I reckon they're a real confidence team. So once again, if we can get a start like we did last week, then you know, I think look out, we'll be very very hard to beat again.
Yeah, look, I was also very, with two players for me again last week, and hopefully they can kick on today. One was Mark Pitsenet and Levi Casbolt's marking. Like, if he's not the best mark in the AFL currently, I'll go he.
He is now, because Jeremy Howe's injured.
Consistent mark.
Actually, wasn't that a bonus too? Collingwood got beat.
Yeah. It's always good to hear Collingwood getting beaten by just under a goal as well. It's
fantastic. Hopefully, you know, we can do it tonight.
What a wonderful week that makes it.
And then Richmond need to lose too, and then we've got the trifecta.
Absolutely.
Well, the way they're going, they're not in very good form at the moment either. So, although they've got a few back this week, so they might turn it around, but. Yeah, the season's wide open at the moment, and you know, if you continue, just string a few wins together, and we'll get a great opportunity tonight.
Yeah, well, this season's just a pre-season
for
next year.
You never know.
That's true.
This season's just a pre-season for next year anyway, and just imagine when Papley's running around our half forward line, how bloody damaging we're going to be, mate. You know, you do know that it's done. That's the rumours and annual rumours and scuttlebutts in. And we got Papley as well. The site we had Shield, and like we had Papley last year, he's in. We got him.
Got him, okay. And obviously Charlie Curnow, there's another bonus back next year.
I was just about to say, then that forward line's going to look a lot more dangerous once we get Charlie back. Tonight, if we can start with the intent that we started last week, you know, and as I said, like Pitsenet to me, he's. Like, he's probably not the best tap ruckman, but it's his second, third efforts. A bit like Cruiser. He hits the ground, he goes in like a bull.
Yeah, he does. And look, he's going to have a... you know, I don't really rate Stanley that highly as a ruckman type. I think he's more a forward type who's developing into you know, because he's got a bit of height and that, I think, and because their midfield's so good. They normally can get away with not having a great ruckman in there, but a bloke who's pretty mobile around the ground. But, he did okay against Gorn. I thought Gorn got hold of him a few times on the week before, but...
he dominated last
week. You know, he's learning. I think he's played less than a dozen games, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he's only a young bloke learning his craft. And some of these ruckmen, you know, they're confident. They're real confidence players too. And I remember when I got to Carlton, and Justin Madden in 1985 was sitting on the bench in the reserves at one stage. I mean, and you know, within half of a year, he was taking 15 marks a match and really sort of started to establish himself from then. So, you know, Ruckman can turn it around pretty quick, and you know, they're confidence players.
Must remember with Reece Stanley as well, he was made to look very good against Hawthorn, who didn't have Mark Pitnett in their side in that game as well. So, you know, it's easy to look good. Now, just quickly, I got a text from Kate Jezelenko. She couldn't make it on the show this week for some reason, so I won't read out the first word, which starts with PH. PH, so sorry. I tried to call, but wouldn't go through. Didn't even check last night. Had a big one. Then this morning, I tried all these people's phones. They all think I'm a freak. Well, Kate, thanks for letting us know at 9:55, mate. I'm glad you and Trenny had a big one out there in Clunes by the bonfire, and hope everyone survived it.
Mate, David, back to tonight's game, mate. Last week, our midfield were brilliant. Again, it's like any game, it starts from the midfield. Now, they've been up and about a bit, the Bombers. again, we need to nullify their midfielders and win it from there. And also, too, we've got a bit of incentive. We've got the new debutant, Sam Philp, and we've also got Simo breaking Big Nick's game record. So we should be up and about, I would hope.
Fingers crossed.
I think they will, and I think last week's win will give them an enormous amount of confidence. And especially with the start, if they'd have started poorly again, that sort of thing can get in your head as well. But they know they can get out of the blocks and challenge, early in the game. So, that's going to be important as well. But, they're a great chance. I wouldn't knock them against any team at the moment. I think I think they're playing good footy, and what they showed last week was... Well, especially early in that game, is what they're capable of, and I think that's the real exciting thing for Carlton supporters.
Yeah. Teague will have to be on his game though, because no doubt Worsfold and Co would have had a really good look at that the way we jumped those three quarters, and you've got to have a good plan B and C sometimes.
Yeah,
and it's up to our leaders in the middle and Paddy Cripps and those blokes to get their hands on the ball early in the game and start to. Dominate through that midfield, and we're starting to push quite a few players through that midfield at the moment too. That's another thing I'm sort of noticing, and I'm glad you mentioned that Sam Philp too, because he's been playing really well in the scratch match type of games that they've been playing, and really deserves his spot in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring too.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to have a debutant, always is. Let's just hope we can go out there and actually win tonight, because it'll be fantastic for us boys and girls down at the Empire Bar tonight. Well, mate, we're going to have to wrap it up there, Dave. But as always, thank you very much for giving up your time. Anything else you'd like to pass on to us blue baggers, mate?
No, I think that's about it at the moment. I'm just going to try and back a winner at Caulfield today. Hopefully I get a winner there and a winner tonight, and I'll be happy.
Good luck, mate. All right, thanks again for joining us, Dave. And as we always say, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Gamble responsibly.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Gamble responsibly.
David Rhys-Jones, always good, always honest. We don't have a lot of time, but Paris, let's rip through very quickly the upcoming games.
Yes. Okay, so today at Metricon Stadium, we've got Port Power versus the Eagles.
Port.
At Marvel Stadium this afternoon, St Kilda versus the Tigers. St Kilda.
I'm going to go the Saints as well.
Yeah, I'll go for the Saints.
Tonight at the MCG, the Bombers and the Blues. I'm actually going to tip the Blues this week.
I always tip the Blues.
Blues. Who else?
The Suns versus the Dockers at Metricon this evening. Suns.
Lions.
Dockers. Crows at the Gabba tomorrow morning. Lions.
Caca.
Demons and Cats at the MCG tomorrow. Arvo, the Cats.
Cats.
Meow.
Demons and upset.
And the last game is Hawthorn Kangaroos at Marvel tomorrow, Arvo, and I'm going for the Hawks.
Hawks. Kangaroos and a ball over.
All right. Oh. Now, look, I've been tasked with a weekly whack this week, so here's my go at it. Okay, my whack this week goes to all the keyboard warriors on social media that continue to hide behind their devices and post or send racist remarks to high-profile people, and in particular sports people, and in particular our own Eddie Betts. The latest hero posting racist pictures and name-calling also happens to be an Essendon supporter. No surprises there. Essendon, to their credit, made a statement in support of Eddie and are searching to see if this fool is a member, and if so, his membership will be cancelled. I don't think that's enough. This person should be named and shamed so we can try and put a stop to this garbage. Eddie, along with many other Indigenous people, have to deal with this constantly, and it must be a draining and downright annoying. Eddie's interview on AFL 360 this week really highlighted the hurt and frustrations that not only him but other Indigenous people live through the day after day. So people, enough is enough. When are we going to grow up as a society and start treating people how you would like to be treated? That is my whack.
I'm whack. So tired of having to give that a weekly whack over the last 2 years on this radio show. When are people going to grow up, grow some acorns, And just stop behaving like children and cowardly? It's more about the cowardice. It's just such a sad indictment on society that they hide behind these keyboards and carry on like that. It's just cowardly. They wouldn't do it to anyone's face. It just serves no purpose.
I agree.
He was almost in tears.
Sorry, guys, that's all we've got for today.
But I want to keep talking.
Cut me off, mate.
Well, once again, another great show.
Come on, Chris, we're going to put some pressure on you here, mate.
Thanks to John, our great mate David Rhys-Jones, our special guest Dennis Armfield, Mark LeJudice, and as we always say,
Go Blues.
See you at the Empire tonight. Go Blues.
They've been playing against the famous.